This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. I hope you all had a decent weekend. I know yesterday was the memorial for Charlie Kirk, and I think people are still kind of processing all of that. So that's what I wanted to talk about today, mostly, among other things, I guess. I watched most of the coverage of the event in Phoenix yesterday, and it was quite the memorial, celebration of life, revival, rally. It was all encompassing. And what I've seen online is everyone's upset, or at least some people are upset. The normal people are upset. And by normal, I mean the regular people are upset. They didn't like the fireworks. They didn't like the way Trump talked. They didn't like the glee and cheerfulness and celebration tone of the whole thing. My words on that are, you know, you get to put together the celebration of life for the person that you lost. And I'm sure it went exactly the way Erica wanted it to go and the rest of the team at TPUSA wanted it to be. And I am certain Charlie would have loved it. So I don't think there's any reason to criticize what they put together. When my mother died during COVID. And so we're in Minnesota. We couldn't have funerals right away. So we waited, I think, 8 months before we had her celebration of life. And in that time, which was nice, I actually like the idea that that we waited more than, you know, just 2 weeks to put the event together. It was actually quite healing, and it caused a lot of soul searching and I don't know what else you want to call it within the family, which was good. We needed it. And by the time the service rolled around, well, let me back up. My mother was in a nursing home since my father passed away. And that's a longer story. But she, like, for holidays and birthdays and things like that, you get to the point with older parents where you just, you know, they don't want stuff. They don't want more, you know, trinkets or knickknacks or any of that sort of thing. We couldn't really give her experiences because she didn't want to travel, and traveling was just really incredibly difficult for her, especially in her older age. And she couldn't read anymore. She couldn't hold a book anymore. So there wasn't much gift-wise to give her. But one of the things that we ended up doing was giving her flamingos because she hated them. And she hated them because when we were growing up, my brother and I, we had a family cabin, we still have it, in Wisconsin. And it was a place that my dad got because my mother really couldn't travel. And so we would go there every weekend and, you know, do family time stuff. And it was great. It was probably the best thing that my parents ever did, was to purchase that cabin. But one weekend he had gone out to the garden store or something, hardware store, and picked up a thing of those garden flamingos, and he popped them in the yard, and my mother just went ballistic. She absolutely hated them. She thought they were tacky and just awful. So of course, my dad kept them in the yard because it was funny. So for whatever reasons, we started giving her flamingos because she'd kind of throw a fit, but she also thought it was funny. So when her memorial came around, we had a flamingo theme, and it was, everybody wore a flamingo attire. I think I had flamingo earrings on. We had flamingos at the church, or not at the church, but at the cemetery, at the gravesite, you know, planted in the ground. And everything was, the cake was a flamingo. It was, the pink was just off the charts. And it was hilarious, and she would have loved it. And while some people at the event were probably a little mystified, maybe even horrified, I don't care. We did what she would have liked. And we actually ran it by her on many levels. So she wanted to be buried in a flamingo, and we just couldn't figure out how to do that. Because the funeral home wouldn't really participate in that. She was cremated. And anyway, we couldn't make that work. So we put her in a pickle jar like we did my father. And that's another story. And both of them, we have their ashes that are sitting on the mantle at the cabin. So, and there's also plenty of flamingos up there now. So it's a way to remember them in whatever way the family remembers those people. So I don't understand the criticism of how they put together this event. I thought it was done very well. I enjoyed watching it. Erica's, I don't want to say speech, but her eulogy, I guess, was beautiful. I think the fact that she publicly forgave the person who killed her husband, it was very powerful. And I think something that we should all reflect on. I'm not certain I could do that, especially so quickly after. I do think it's healthy for her to move on. But I also loved that Trump came on after her and said, yeah, no, I don't. Because you need that balance. And it's okay that somebody else is still pissed off, and they should be. Erica's got to look after her kids now. That's her main, and TPUSA, but the kids are the priority. And if you let hate and anger, you know, consume you, that job becomes far more difficult. So I think she did the right thing. But I also don't think she gives a shit what I think or what anybody else thinks. And that's what makes her so powerful. So I think you're going to see a lot from her in the coming years and decades, because I think she's an incredibly strong woman. And clearly she and Charlie had an amazing relationship. And that was, you know, that's the other thing where you watch that and you see what was taken from her and their kids. And his parents, her parents, you know, God, it just touches everybody. It's not, you know, I'm looking at it more from a personal perspective rather than what he provided to the country, which was immense. But from a personal standpoint, especially having been divorced and, you know, raised my kids, you know, like a single mom, it's hard. And I don't know, you know, I hope she has the support. I'm sure they have the financial capabilities, but he's not there. And it has changed the trajectory of all of their lives. And I just wish them the best, really. And I'm sure she will, you know, find the strength that she needs. She seems quite capable. Her comment about, you know, how women, you know, should go, you know, being a mother, and how important that is. And I think that we have lost that, that innate belief. You know, I was thinking about when I got married the first time, my ex-husband and I we started trying to have children right away. And because it was impressed upon us that we should have 2.3 kids or 2.1, I don't remember what it was, but that was a normal feeling or a normal belief in our generation. And it's kind of not amusing, but it's interesting how that is not the case anymore. But now we actually have to encourage people to get married and have children. And I think, I don't know how it got lost that, well, that was the other thing. So on, I flipped around from channels, but I basically watched Fox because they didn't cut away as much as CNN or MSNBC did. But on the header or whatever, it was Mrs. Erica Kirk, as opposed to just Erica Kirk. And I think, you know, that the whole idea of Mrs. and Mr. or, you know, back in my day, back when I was a little whippersnapper, back in my day, it was still customary to have, you would get stationery, and especially when you're doing all the wedding stuff, you're sending out, you know, your thank you letters after the wedding, and you got stationery that said, Mrs., you know, whatever his name is and last name. So like for Erica, it would have been Mrs. Charlie Kirk would be how she signed how her like stationery. And again, I know people don't even have stationery these days. And what the hell am I talking about? But there was that formality that I think was really important because it created some cohesiveness between the two. They were a team. And I'm not just speaking about Charlie and Erica. My grandparents were like that. My parents, you know, they all followed those same traditions. And, you know, my generation did too. It was falling off then. It was considered a bit archaic. By the time I got married the second time, 10 years later, there was none of that. Now, that could just be because it was my second marriage and, you know, all the traditions are kind of gone at that point. But, you know, I don't see anybody doing it these days, even people who are in the more traditional marriage sense. But that said, I think she's right in that, you know, there's nothing more important than having kids. And I get there are people who don't want them. And I'm not suggesting that they should have them if they don't want them. It really should be something you want to do. And it's not for everybody. But if you're on the fence about it, I don't think you're going to regret it. And that's probably all I'm going to say about that. Except I will say one more thing. There was another thing she said about how young men should step up. And I know we have really done a disservice to men in our country and probably worldwide for the last 30 years, maybe even longer, where we've just said that we don't need them. You know, the whole, a fish doesn't need a bicycle. A fish needs a, what is it? A woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. I think that's it. And that's such bullshit. Of course we do. Of course we need a partner. And, you know, I don't care if you're gay or straight or any of that. A partner makes life so much easier. And I say this as a single person who has been on both sides of it. I would much rather be in a relationship, a healthy relationship, than an unhealthy one. Or than to be single. The problem is, and this is my next book, the pickings get harder as you get older. So if you're focusing on a career in your 20s, you're going to miss, it's going to get harder. It doesn't get any easier to find your person the longer you wait. It's easiest when you're in school, whether it's high school or college, because you're surrounded by people who are in the same situation as you. You're all starting off from kind of the same place. You get to know them as friends, as opposed to a dating app where everybody's swiping left and right and it's all about hookups. So the sooner, I mean, that should be the priority, is finding that person to, you don't have to get married right away, but at least establishing that relationship. And again, that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm speaking from experience. I don't know anybody that has found it to be easier to get involved or to marry or any of that as they get older. It just doesn't get easier at all. Exponentially harder. And then most people, I don't know about most, a lot of people just give up. And so now we have a loneliness epidemic for our seniors, and that's going to create a problem. And I hadn't really planned any of this out, so I don't want to go on too much because I don't know any of the stats or anything like that. But we're creating bigger problems for ourselves down the road by not going this traditional marriage family route. and we can pick into why that happened. There's all kinds of theories, and I don't profess to know what the truth is. I don't know if anybody does. But I think this was good advice. So I hope the younger kids will start reconsidering, you know, some of the stuff, some of the ideals that we have put into place in the last 20, 30 years, because I don't think they've been good for society. Anyway, that said, my plan was to do one of these every day, and that's still my goal. I've just got a lot of stuff kind of going on, and I didn't get to it this weekend. So I apologize for that, and hopefully I will get on schedule. I'm working. That was the other thing about the whole Charlie Kirk celebration, is when they did the, you know, they kind of recapped his life, and I put this on Twitter. It's like, does anybody else feel like a slacker? And I do. I work hard. I work really hard, but I don't work as hard as he did. And I'm not as, you know, I get up and I say, well, I might do this, I might do that. I don't have a schedule anymore. And I think that that has been really detrimental to my productivity. And so that's something I want to work on, is, you know, getting back into a routine. And it kind of all went to hell during COVID. I was always working from home, but suddenly there was no schedule. Like, school got canceled, so I didn't have to get my kids to school anymore. And that changed everything. And I had a dog that was barking when I let her out at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I thought, well, I'm just going to stay in bed till 7, because it's too early to let her out. And I've since built a fence so she doesn't bark at the bunnies in the neighborhood or in the yard next door. So that's not an issue. I just developed some really bad habits. I used to be far more productive, mostly because I got up earlier. The other thing that I've noticed is that I'm staying up way too late. Now, there's no need to. I'm not doing anything productive. I'm, you know, scrolling on social media and, you know, watching reels. So I'm not, there's nothing that's good that I'm doing between, you know, 10 and midnight. And there's no reason for me to be up. So I'm going to try and do something about that. I also don't need to be on social media as much as I have been. It's been this sort of, I don't want to say coping mechanism, but it's been a way to connect. Certainly I have a lot of great friends on social media and all of that, but I need to, or I want to do less of that. And now this is turning into some sort of confessional, which wasn't my plan. So anyway, I hope to become a little bit more productive by creating better habits and a better routine. So this podcast might not be 30 minutes long. It might just be 10 minutes long, but I do hope to get one in every day. So hopefully we'll do that. And if there's anything that you would like to have me talk about, please let me know. Not that I have insight on anything, but I'm happy to ponder away. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot of, I don't really know what else. Again, I didn't have no notes at all, just going into this cold. So, tomorrow I hope to have something a little bit more thought out, and my dogs are about to bark, so I'm going to cut it off now. So have a great day. Talk to you later.